Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Senate confirmation hearings are done. They have concluded, and they have been unprecedented in the attempt of so many to disrupt those hearings. We're going to be talking about that, but also talking about the importance of what these hearings represent because of the judge that's being considered for the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel, and Peggy Kneeneighbor, who is the vice president of operations for Faith in Action. Faith in Action is a ministry that Liberty Counsel is very closely working with. It is in the nation's capital, directly across the street from the United States Supreme Court. And Peggy, you were both inside and outside of the hearings. You attended some hearings of Chief Justice John Roberts. Compare what you saw there with what you experienced in the hearings with Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
So, night and day on the outside, there wasn't that volume of people protesting as far as outside the building. Inside the building, it was not allowed at all. What we used to do is hold press conferences and briefings. You saw a little bit more grassroots on that end. And we, for pro-life, pro-family, religious liberties, we as a group of women had what was called Women for Roberts. And we wore red T-shirts and we pushed buggies. Buggies are carriages, baby carriages that were empty to prove of the unborn children that never made it into the buggies. And we quietly protested. We would walk in front of the Supreme Court or we'd push them around on Capitol Hill. But the opposing side would show up with blood all over them, swinging coat hangers over our heads and at us as we were walking. And they kept this going. And we just never reacted. And when we didn't react, they would throw some type of red paint, red dye, whatever they had red all over us and what we had. They continued this while we were marching in support of John Roberts.
But it actually was much, much worse in what you see and what you experienced with the Judge Kavanaugh hearings.
Oh, much worse. Much worse. In fact, there was a woman graphically that had red all over her body and between her legs, all over her pants, down her legs. I'm actually surprised in our day and age that this was allowed in the actual Senate building.
That's a strange thing.
How
they
let her in like
that. And then the fine for disrupting is what, only $35 to $50?
Oh, $35 to $50, depending how loud. Yeah, what I did ask how.
So that depends on how loud you're protesting.
It's how loud or how disruptive. If you're hard to be taken away, if you're resisting.
So these people were getting paid $50 per person to disrupt by various organizations, including the so-called Women's March, which is led by, co-founded by someone who's very anti-Semitic, who has no problem being associated with Louis Farrakhan, who says some very awful things about the United States of America, even 9/11,
right,
and Jews. And so that was one of the many organizations that were behind this.
Linda Sarsaro?
Linda Sarsaro.
Yeah, she actually was the first one arrested.
She was the first one
that led the group.
Right, yeah, she started the whole arrest. And so you have $50 per person they're getting paid. They sign these civil disobedience forms. They're orchestrating what they say, when they say it, how loud they say it, how many times they say whatever they're going to say to disrupt. And then apparently they're getting the fines paid for by these organizations as well.
Yes.
And they feed them. And I mean, they've got it made.
So now you're inside one several days. You're inside for all the different hearings. And in one hearing, there's a lady in a wheelchair along with some other individuals, all of them coordinating disruption. Tell us about that scene.
So they, this was the second day, and they were coordinating it on the outside. And there were actually four people in wheelchairs. Two of them didn't make it in because there was only room for two wheelchairs in the rear. So they would wait for the next, next group to come in. And so the two that went in, one was placed next to me, had a very large, oversized wheelchair, and then there was one on the other side of her that had a normal type of wheelchair, one that rolls freely. And then on the other side was an elderly gentleman. On my right were three women that actually were the ones talking in line about taking pictures and so on. And what happened was, is one by one on my right side started screaming, and they would hold on to each other so they couldn't carry them out. So when the Capitol Hill police would try to obtain them, it would knock over chairs, causing more disruption. And the louder they got, the more the others are going, yell louder, say this, say this. But the girls on my left started with the elderly gentleman. So we went through the three on my right, and then the elderly gentleman stood up, and he yelled one time, and he was gone. They just whipped him right out because he was right in front of the door. And the girl in the wheelchair that was freely rolled did the same, and both of them were gone in a matter of probably 30 seconds.
It's like paid but tantrums.
Now, yeah. One of the situations exactly. With the wheelchair, the woman locked the wheelchair.
She did.
And I looked over and saw it made it hard for them to move mm-hmm. her out of there.
It did. Goodness. So her text messages were so large, and I suspect that she maybe couldn't read them. And so they were very, very large, and I could see them say, go now, it's your turn, it's
so
your turn.
So someone is actually sending that specific person a text
yes.
telling mm-hmm. them when they should actually mm-hmm. protest.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Organized.
I saw it. And you can see everybody protest. They would tell them, put their phones away, and they'd pull them back out and do it again. And this young lady, they kept saying, go now, and smiling through her yells. And I'm not making that up. You can watch it on TV if you can see it. And she started yelling. And the more she started yelling, when they came up, they couldn't get her wheelchair unlocked. And they tried and tried. They asked her to unlock it. She did not. He asked her again. She did not. So with that, it took six police officers to carry that wheelchair out
they
through the door.
They had to lift the wheelchair wow. physically off the ground.
Mm-hmm. And what did they do with these people after they escorted them out of the hearing room?
So there's three doors, one on each side, and then one that's on the back side, the north side. They would carry them out to the hallway, and the officers carried these plastic handcuffs, and they had like six on each officer.
Oh,
that's what they were anticipating after the first day. They would handcuff them. They would put them in the hallway. They'd wait there until they had so many of them. Then they walk them publicly right out the building, which they thought this was the greatest thing. They'd walk them out the building, and there was a bus that was almost the size of a Greyhound bus, and they put them on that and took them to the police station.
I saw the bus. It is mm-hmm. like a Greyhound bus.
Yeah.
It's like one of the large RVs, and it's the mm-hmm. D.C. police.
Mm-hmm.
It's black windows, and they had apparently, I guess they use a bus like that because of protests that happened in the nation's capital.
Wow.
Well, there was over 227 arrests. There was over 77
crazy.
The first day. And they don't have paddy wagons to carry all these people away. They upped the load of Capitol Hill police the second day, and then even more the third day.
Now, did the atmosphere change from the first day to the last day?
It got more heightened. More heightened,
you know,
as
that
the days went.
After the first day of hearings, a group of organizations and a number of them actually sent a letter to Minority Leader Senator Chuck Schumer protesting that the Democratic leadership was not resisting enough after that first day. It was
wow.
bad the first day.
They stood outside his office.
And they were upset that they were not protesting. They said they were wanting them to literally shut it down, shut mm-hmm. down the entire process.
Prayer definitely answered, because you could see the hostility. They probably had 30 to 50 people outside of the senator's office, of Grassley's office, and protesting like crazy, protesting, and inside his office chanting. Mm. And
oh,
there
goodness.
Was probably, along with all of them, just as many Capitol Hill police monitoring that area. And that's when I asked, I said, years ago, we couldn't even carry a sign in, let alone a bottle of water. And now you let people in with these type of outfits on, signs, chanting inside of the
sense.
Senate office buildings. I'm surprised that these rules have changed.
It's unbelievable. Well, we're going to continue our discussion with Peggy Nienaber on the next Faith and Freedom about what happened. And then we're also going to be talking about the importance of this nomination and how it can ultimately have a huge difference in the future of this country, particularly of the United States Supreme Court on the issue of life, marriage, and so many other religious liberty and freedom issues that we cherish. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, Peggy Nienaber, vice president of Operations for Faith in Action. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website for more information on Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Go to lc.org/SCOTUS, lc.org/SCOTUS. Remember, Liberty Counsel, in your prayers and financial support, you can go to the lc.org donate button, and right there you can donate and pledge your contributions to support this ministry.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Call us at 407-875-1776, lc.org.